God. Praise God. Oh, yes. There's something about the breakout here that no man can contain. Hallelujah. Beautiful thing here. Turn, we got to read something one more time. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll forget about Romans chapter 7 for tonight. I've had enough eye. Praise God. But we got to read a little bit here from Romans chapter 8 again. Praise God. It has been said that if the early church, early part of this church, in the days of the first apostles, if they would have taken the Holy Ghost out of what they'd done in their ministry and in their church, 90% of everything that they'd done would have ceased. And yet some places today, among Pentecost, if we took the Holy Ghost out of everything that some folks done that claim to be Pentecostal, I'm afraid about 90% of what they do would go right on unaffected. We need more Holy Ghost than we do anything else. Praise God. We're Holy Ghost powered. We're Holy Ghost powered. 8 verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Verse 4. And the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And let's clap our hands and praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated and don't get ready for a long season of preaching. I promise you I'll be through when you are. I just want to preach for a little while this evening. I'm not going to try to do a marathon. We've got a big weekend and I know that if I don't finish tonight, I can finish tomorrow. Praise God. I don't know if I'll ever get finished. The Holy Ghost is so deep you can't tunnel under it. The Holy Ghost is so wide you can't find your way around it. The Holy Ghost is so high you can't get over it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We're talking about God. We're talking about God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. And when it says we walk in the flesh, it means we live in a physical world. It don't mean we walk in the flesh in the sense that we walk in carnality. There are some many places in the Bible where it says the flesh is talking about carnality or carnal mind or doubt or these things that the flesh produces. But this thing here is saying we walk in the flesh, not in the sense of carnality, but in a physical human body. I know sometimes when I get to preaching, I don't feel like I've even got a human body. I feel like I could just soar, or that I could, you know, one time when I was about 16 years old, maybe I learned this from Mother Shirley, I don't remember, but when he was preaching, he was talking about preaching them camp meetings down there when I was a teenager. But I remember when I was 16 years old, I felt so good in the Holy Ghost that I wanted to do something extraordinary. And my dad had a metal bar across there of the little tiny 24-foot wide by 36 auditorium that was there. And a metal bar. And on it was a drape that he'd gotten secondhand from the local high school when they got ready to change their curtains, you know, on their stage in the auditorium. And it was heavy. And I felt so good that I just jumped up. I was going to jump up and grab that bar and just swing out. And, you know. But as soon as I jumped up and grabbed that bar, the whole curtain come down on me. I come thrashing around. Finally, I beat my way and got my way out of that big old heavy drape. Come up out of there, and I looked around and just kept right on shouting. Well, we do find that we are human beings, and sometimes we don't think we are when we get to feeling the Holy Ghost just right. But we are human, and we're living in a physical world. And you don't have much trouble with people kicking the walls in around here. I see that. But sometimes you got sheetrock walls, people can get happy enough that they think things are indestructible. And they get to try to kick in stuff, you know, and really getting with it. But but really, I don't think the Holy Ghost wants you to destroy things. But we are in a physical world, but we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It don't matter how long the devil has occupied a certain territory, the church has got the weapons and the power to pull it down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having all in all in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let me just read a little bit more, Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to preach to you a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's begin with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Everybody say truth. Truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Say righteousness. Right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everybody say the gospel. Right. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and say faith. Right. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yeah. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the, everybody say, Spirit. Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, and for the ministry, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Just as sure as there is a physical world, there is a spiritual world. Just as sure as there are preachers and good saints of God in this place that are worshiping and praising God, there is also an unseen host here. Now the Scripture says that we fight against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness is also literally interpreted or translated wicked spirits. High places meaning heavenly places. We fight against wicked spirits in heavenly places. I want you to know that the devil don't know anything about a fair fight. He don't know anything about the Geneva Convention rules for warfare. He don't know anything about Robert's rules of order. He totally ignores the rules of the ring or of the wrestling mat. He ignores the referee. He don't know how to fight fair. And so when you deal with our enemy, the devil, you've got to do it with all of your might and in the power of the Holy Ghost, and that's the only way it works. So let's praise God together. Praise God. Praise God. You have, in the physical world, you have the Soviet Union. And what they call the superpowers today is Russia and the United States of America. And they call us the superpowers. And there's a great race of arms and weapons, nuclear warfare, and all the weapons that are involved that we read a lot about in our newspapers and hear on the news and the radio. And Reagan talked about some weapons and trying to curb the race in warfare and so forth. But it is a physical world of superpowers. Russia. And then you have places like Cuba and Nicaragua and other places such as Vietnam, Cambodia, East Germany, Poland, other places that are under the influence and being used by the Soviet Union to create turmoil and to try to build a base. I'm not into politics, but I understand why the United States don't want communist regimes close to our borders. I understand why that we as a nation and the CIA cause constant turmoil to take place in some of these countries, because if we just backed out the picture, the Soviet Union would build air bases there. They would put military camps there. And eventually they would do what they tried to do back in the 60s under the Kennedy administration of America. They would try to put missiles and silos as close as Cuba again. But these smaller nations are being used and dominated by Russia. And then you have the inner turmoil in America. Believe it or not, we actually have a communist party right here in America. They can run for president just like anybody else can. This is a free country. But thank God, so far, the Democratic and Republican parties have dominated the political arena, and I think they will for a long, long time, and maybe on and on. Because we love freedom. We love freedom. But that's the physical world. Russia. And then all of the countries that she uses to establish her bases and her outreach, and then the turmoil within America. Abraham Lincoln is the one that said, no foreign country could ever come and put one footprint on the Blue Ridge Mountains. No foreign country could by force come in here and take one sip out of the Mississippi River. But he said, if we ever fall, if we're ever destroyed, it would be from within. Wherein there is division among us, for a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, in the physical world, that's the way it is. But there is just as certainly a spiritual world. There is a powerful spirit that rules over Russia. A powerful spirit. Just as Daniel, when he prayed for 21 days and he also fasted, and there was a prayer going up to God, and in the process of the answer coming back, the angel Gabriel was on his way with a message and the answer to his prayer. But he was interceded when he was sweeping over the country of Persia, and the power of the prince of Persia interfered and interceded against Gabriel, and Gabriel warred and struggled with him until Michael was sent, the war angel was sent, and they conquered that prince of Persia, which was not a man, but it was a spirit of Persia. It was a spiritual warfare that was going on. You see, Daniel was down here, a captive, away from his own country, away from the wailing wall of Jerusalem, if you please. Daniel was away from the prayers of the temple of Solomon. Daniel was away from his homeland. He was away from the prayers of his people. And there was an answer on the way, but the angel had to fight through a spiritual warfare to get back. Well, I want you to note something here. The devil cannot hinder our prayers. You can hinder your prayer. The Bible says, you know, turmoil in the home, husband, wife, and family turmoil can hinder your prayers. Attitude problems can hinder your prayers. The devil cannot hinder your prayer. The devil did not hinder Daniel's prayer. Because the beautiful thing about it, when Gabriel got there and said, "I am here, I'm sent from God, I have a message for you." He said, "But I want you to know something first. The God of heaven heard you the first time you prayed." He prayed for 21 days. But the devil did not hinder his first prayer. The devil did not hinder any of his prayers. But rather, the devil delayed the answer. But he could not hinder Daniel's prayer. I'm going to tell you, when you get on your knees and start talking to God, God has given every child of God a hotline to the throne of grace. And the devil can't interfere with that. Let's praise God. And then Russia and the physical world reaches out and dominates others. And that's the world, the physical world as we know it, as the earth, the planet earth. They have a tremendous influence there. Now I want to talk to you about the spirit of this world. It seems like everything I want to preach about, it's already been talked about or sang about or shouted about or something already in this service. So maybe I don't have to preach quite as long. But I want you to understand something about the spirit of this world. It is an overwhelming spirit. The reason that pastors preach, and I'm not trying to pastor you now. Anything that I say that this pastor don't believe or teach or whatever, you just hear him. But the reason that pastors warn people of the evils of television is because the devil has used that as a tremendous instrument to inject the spirit of this world into the hearts of God's people. The spirit of this world can be overwhelming to people when they make themselves susceptible to it. Amen. The reason that we preach that you should be careful of the magazines and books and places you go and things you listen to on the radio or in tape players and the things that we look at is because the spirit of this world is in a constant warfare with your spirit. The world is enmity against God. The world is not the friend of God. There is a contrary and constant contrast and conflict between the world and the church. Because the church cannot be like the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It is important that we remember that. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. You want to tell me where the world is trying to attack you? It's in your faith. If they can destroy your faith, then they'll have your soul. That's why humanism is just being constantly bombarded into the hearts and minds of young people in our public schools. That is why that atheism and why that evolution is constantly being bombarded from the media and from the education system and many different angles is because that is the spirit of the world that's trying to destroy your faith. It's interesting to me that there are some people who claim to be Christians who lost their faith in God because they read about Darwin's theory of evolution. And yet today, even the evolutionists don't believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. His theory is outdated. But I'm going to tell you something, a truth that is never outdated, and that's this good Word of God.
faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Praise God. We are in a warfare against the spirit of this world. We are also in a warfare against the human spirit. The human spirit. Jesus looked at His disciples once and said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you're of." He was basically talking to them about a human spirit. He was not trying to tell them they were demon-possessed. He was talking to them about a mental disposition or an attitude about the situation at hand. You don't know what manner of spirit you're of. The Scripture talks about if a man is overtaken in a fault, that you that are spiritual should go restore him in the spirit of meekness. The Scripture also says in a situation like that, you should consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. There are some people who have such a strong, dominating human spirit that you have got to be prayed up just to be around them. I've seen people that were so depressing that when they went in the room, it seemed like you cut the lights off. I've seen people you could get around them and feel so good and just walk up to them and say, "Praise God, how you doing today?" And they'll say, and pretty soon you're saying, "Me too. I do. I tell you, I'm about to die and backslide myself." Now, I don't only believe there's a spirit of the world and the spirit of Satan, but there is a human spirit that God breathed into us, the breath of life, and we became a living soul. And there is a human spirit that is within us that we have the ability to use it for the good as it's being used of the Holy Ghost, or it can be used of the bad. Be used of the bad. And that is that is within us. You see, the spirit of this world is like the base, like Russia builds bases at Cuba, and they undermine and dominate and rule. And so the devil, he rules and he builds bases in the world through different medias and different ways and means of getting to and attacking God's people. And we have to be wise to those cunning craftiness of the devil and what he uses through this world. But then you see, the devil cannot get to us when we're covered with the blood and when we're filled with the Spirit. But it is when we let our flesh begin to flare up and begin to dominate, something rises up within us. I'm going to tell you that. Let me show you how it is with the devil. He possessed a man, and they called him in the Bible legions because he had so many devils in him. And those legions, when they left that one man and went into those pigs, they drove those pigs crazy and they ran over the cliff and killed themselves. But all those devils did not and could not kill that man legions. And Jesus came by and delivered him. But they did not kill him. And the devil can only do what we let him do through our flesh. The Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus is like insulation on the wiring. The devil can gnaw on it and chew on it and just try to get to it to short circuit our experience with God, but as long as that insulation is there, he's not hurting anything. It can rain on it, it can freeze it, it can snow, it can hail, it can do what it wants to, as long as that insulation is there. But if that flesh ever begins to show through, then you've got trouble. Then you've got trouble. And the devil wants to rise up in our flesh and try to destroy us. The human spirit, your human spirit has to be conquered. But Paul said, "I bring my body under subjection." Bring my body under subjection. I mortify the deeds of my body. I crucify myself. I die daily. Nevertheless, within me I'm renewed day by day. But this flesh has to be kept under control. I just feel like I need to say this. That the human spirit is strong. There are some people that leave a church and backslide and, you know, they're just discouraged and they're just out and they just don't want to live for God. You can go around and encourage them and they'll hang their head and they'll say, "Yeah, I know I'm not right. I should get right, but I'm not." And
you know, and pray for me, would you? I'm just not ready to live for God. And those kind of things, they're not going to hurt you. But there are some people that within their human spirit, they're so strong that you can go to somebody who has that strong of a human spirit and you can say to them, we miss you at church. Oh, yeah, what of it? Well, you know, well, that preacher down there, I tell you what, that bunch of people, they're all hypocrites. And they got this strong human spirit. They're not necessarily possessed by the devil. It's just their human attitude that rises up in them. And that's the situation where the apostle said, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. You can come up against human. I've come up against people, or people's come up against me with humans, with their own human spirit, of saying, well, God done me wrong, and God didn't do this right, and God didn't do that right. And friend, by the time they get through your legs, you're just as weak as water. You just feel like staggering out of there. You don't feel like... And some of you right here are nodding your head because you come up against human spirits exactly like that. And the enemy would try to destroy us through a humanistic spirit and a human spirit. But we have power over the flesh by the power of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's praise God again. But the driving force behind all of it is Satan himself. I just want to say a few things that I believe about Satan, and I'm not glorifying him. If you think I have, then we'll just do something to take that away. But I don't find anywhere in the Bible where Satan ever actually visibly appeared supernaturally before anybody. I've asked probably 10 preachers that are renowned Bible teachers and scholars this question. Have you ever found in the Bible where Satan ever actually, I know he appeared through the serpent, but that was something that God had already created that was there. I know he was in the pigs, and I know he spoke to Jesus, but I just reread it today, and it didn't say he appeared to him. He just talked to Jesus when he was tempted in the 40-day fast. But do you find anywhere in the Bible, I haven't found it, and neither have about 10 other preachers that I've talked to, ever found where the devil or any demon spirit ever visibly appeared at the foot of somebody's bed? You know, in the corner at church, on the end of the pew, up in the ceiling at night in the dark, walking down the road by yourself. I got to studying this because I got to praying about it because being youth president in Florida, and then before that I run other youth camps throughout Florida, and it seemed like every youth camp, some kid claims he sees some spirit at the end of his bed. Claims he sees some kind of, and I just want to just take all the glory away from the devil. Because the Bible says that he is reserved in chains of darkness. Now, I know that don't mean that he is not about going about like a roaring lion. I know that don't mean that he is reserved in some physical location to where he is not going about trying to destroy people. I know that's not what it means. But it could mean that he has a chain on him that holds him in the darkness. That when he wants to show himself to get glory, he cannot. I've just heard too many spooky things about the devil. I don't think we need to go around talking about all the spooky things the devil does. But the devil does work against us. But all I want to talk to you for just the next few minutes, if God be for us, all the things we've got going for us, who can be against us? Woo! I've heard people say, well, God heal me, but I'm afraid to testify. Because every time God does something for me and I get up and testify about it, the devil starts fighting me about it. And I just don't want another fight with the devil. So when God does something for me, I just keep my mouth shut. That's contrary to the Scripture. The Scripture says you're made an overcomer by the word of your testimony. I think if God does something for you, there can't enough devils in hell keep you from shouting the victory about what God has done for me. Woo! Now I can tell you the devil does fight when you pray. The devil does fight. I've heard people say, well, Brother Barnum, I tell you, it seems like every time I really get down to business and really start praying, the devil starts fighting. You want to have to say that?
Big deal. Big deal.
You know, the definition, one man's definition of revival was this: the saints getting back to normal. The saints getting back to normal. Sometimes people live subnormal so long that when they get to being normal, they think they're abnormal. But revival is just simply the church getting back to normal. You think this prayer room in here is something super duper? Not on your life. That's just the church getting back to normal. Woo! You think all this shouting up down the aisles is something super duper and something to walk around and say, well, boy, we really got something great going here. That's just the church getting back to normal. But thank God we're normal children of God. Thank God we're children of the King. Hallelujah. We are children of the King. And you know I'm not slighting the prayer room. And you know I'm not slighting worship. That's all part of this spiritual warfare that we're talking about. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The word spirit from the Greek is translated in three different levels of that. There's human spirit and there's superhuman spirit, which is demonic or angelic. And then there's divine spirit, which is the Holy Ghost or God's spirit. And in the spirit realm, there is a spiritual warfare going on. Paul told Timothy, look, you endure hardness as a good soldier. Scripture said, fight a good fight. Paul said when he died, I have fought a good fight. There is a warfare going on. No man entangles himself with things of this world because he is warring a good warfare. And he's a good soldier. And therefore, he can't be entangled with these other things. If we could have our eyes opened and we could somehow see the spirit world as it is, there is no telling what kind of reaction there would be from this people. Now, I just believe there's two things that this church needs to hear from what I'm saying. Number one is that there is a group of people in this church that is praying and storming the gates of hell just like they sang about tonight. There are some people in this church, and I mean a tremendous group of people in this church, that are storming the gates of hell with your prayers. Every time you go somewhere to prayer, either early in the morning or before a church service or down by your bed or in your living room at night, every time you kneel and pray, I'm telling you, you are chasing off little spirits that could affect your marriage, that could affect your home, that could affect your children, that could affect your finances. And young people, let me tell you something. You don't have to wait till you get married to get down serious about praying. Now, you forgive me. I'll say this. Just forgive me for using my children for an example. But my daughter, Danae, when she was about 13 years old, we needed $250,000 to help finish up building the church that we're in now that ended up costing us about $850,000. And we needed $250,000 to help with that. And we tried everywhere we could try. I've been turned down 3 times by banks. We was raising all the money we could in the church. We were borrowing everything we could from individuals. We was scraping it everywhere we could. And I was turned down and turned. I'm talking about I've been trying for a year to get $250,000. What bank won't loan $250,000 on an $850,000 project that's really actually appraised at over $1 million? That just don't make sense. But every door was shut. Danae come in the house one day at 13 years old and said, Daddy, I'm not eating another bite till we get that money. And I told her mom, I said, wow, that's really saying something. I hope she don't hurt herself. I'm not going to eat another bite. I'm going to pray and fast until God gives us that money. I'm talking about we've been working on this thing a year. It's not talking about some kind of a happenstance or some kind of a coincidence. We're talking about after a year. And then when she said out her third day of her fast with continual prayer, we got the $250,000. You don't have to wait until you're married to get down to business about praying and fasting. I'm telling you, God wants to use you in the prime of your youth and to bring you up that way. Hey, this is a spiritual warfare, and the devil is certainly warring against our young people. I'm going to tell you something, Mother and Daddy. You're not wasting a prayer when you get your children under your arms and you get them there and begin to pray with them. You're not wasting your time. Hallelujah. Don't forget the family prayer. Now me, I'm a man of God. Bear with me, but I'm a great man of God. I tell my wife sometimes, when she says, honey, would you right quick help me make this bed before you leave? And I said, honey, can you imagine the Apostle Paul making a bed? Sometimes she wants me to help her with the dishes. That's very rare. But sometimes she'll want me to help put dishes in the dishwasher or take them out of the dishwasher and put them in the cabinet after the dishwasher's done the work. And I'll say, honey, can you imagine the great Apostle Peter taking dishes out of a dishwasher? I mean, come on, a great man of God. They don't do things like that. But sometimes we as parents feel like, oh, I gotta get by that church at 5 o'clock and pray. And then I gotta get to that church before church and pray. And that's all part of it. But then when our children come around and it's time to go to bed at night and it's just too demeaning to kneel down with little kiddies and say, now let's say a prayer for Jesus. To Jesus. Let's talk to Jesus together. That's too demeaning. That's too humbling. That's too childish to get down with a child and pray with my little children. And my wife, she's not on the same frequency I'm on. You know, she washes dishes. Great men of God, they don't wash dishes. You know? But I'm going to tell you something. You are never wasting your time when you enter into spiritual warfare in your living room and you just get sick and tired of fighting and fussing in your marriage. You get sick and tired of your children having a rebellious spirit and you quit screaming at them and you quit grounding them and quit disciplining them and you just make up your mind, I know where the real problem is. It's not in the physical world. It's in the spirit world. And we're going to get down in our living room and we're going to pray and fight the good fight of faith. And God is going to give us victory in this house. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no doubt. And I said all that I said to take away from the devil a while ago about him being in chains of darkness and not appearing, because I don't want people getting no crazy ideas about what I'm saying. But the fact is there are wicked spirits that are swooping and sweeping and flying and fluttering around your house every day that you live. There are spirits that perch up on the shoulders of your children and try to tell them things that they don't need to hear. There are things that whisper to the back of your mind that if you tarry away from the prayer room long enough, you will start hearing what they have to say. But I am here to say tonight, we're going to fight a good warfare. This church is in a great warfare, and we're not about to quit. We're not about to lay our sword down. We're not about to lay our weapons down, because our weapons are mighty through God. Woo! Paul said he fought with the beast of Ephesus. I want you to understand that beasts have territorial instincts. Elephants, lions, wolves, beasts as we know beasts, wild beasts, they have territorial instincts. Big buck deers. Don't you mess with my little flock here. Don't you mess with my herd. Lions, don't you come in my area. They have territorial instincts. And when Paul said he fought with the beast of Ephesus, it's because he walked into Ephesus and an uproar took place. A riot took place. They would have killed Paul and some of the other apostles had it not been a miracle from God. He said one time, hey, this place here, this is where Satan's seat is. This is where Satan's seat is. It's where the devil has perched himself up and sat down on his little throne and says, this is my territory. Don't nobody come in here preaching the gospel. Don't you know that years ago when people migrated down in this Louisiana and they started filling this area up and it was full of all kind of false religion and doctrine? Don't you know the devil fluttered himself right down over this place and settled down over Louisiana and said, this is my Cajun country. And this is my territory. I don't want no Carl Shirties, and I don't want no hemp pills, and I don't want nobody coming in here preaching no gospel around here. And he fought tooth and toenail. You see, the spirit world certainly affects the physical world. My dad preached the gospel over 50 years, and he preached in Florida when there was very little preaching going on down there over 50 years ago now. And he was preaching in a tent revival in one city when one day praying under that tent, he saw two men coming in. Then he saw out in the distance two women that he realized were new converts. They'd just received the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name in that revival. Their husbands came out of the tent, and they were angry. When they got close enough, he could see that they were ready to do business. And they said to him as they were coming, "Preacher, we are going to stomp you in this sawdust. We are sick and tired of what's happened to our wives. You have ruined our marriage. You have destroyed our happiness in our home." They were blaming him for all these changes that took place with their wives through the Holy Ghost. And when they got so close, he didn't know what to do, so he just took his hands and threw them straight up in the air. And when the Holy Ghost came on, he started talking in tongues. And the Holy Ghost just trembling all over him. And when he finally got through and he opened his eyes, they were gone. In just a few minutes, here they came, followed by a sheriff with his siren going, the light flashing, and right behind them were their two wives in their other car. And the men came up over there with that sheriff and said, "There he is, there's the man, there he is right there. I want this man arrested for assault and battery." And the sheriff said, "Well, is this right? Tell me about it." By that time, the wives came up and said, "Sir, that is simply not so." Said, "These are our husbands right here, and we stood right there and watched what happened. They came up under this tent, and they told us they were going to go assault him. They were going to beat him in the sawdust. And when they got up there so close, this preacher right here lifted his hands and started speaking in tongues, and the Spirit of God came on him, and our husbands fell backwards like an unseen force, knocked them backwards over them orange crates they were using for benches, and they jumped up and ran out of that tent on their own accord." The spirit world absolutely affects the physical world. There are things that we see happening in the physical world that are really nothing more than a result of the warfare that's going on in the spirit world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. We have got so many things going for us. What can we worry about that is against us? It don't matter how the devil's attacking your home. You just assault him with prayer and with fasting and with worship and praise. In the spirit, I feel that in the midst of a tremendous prayer that's going on in this church, the enemy is fighting some of you about this praying. If he can undermine your prayer life and he can weaken you enough, that is the only way he stands a Chinaman's chance of hindering you. As long as you're praying and fasting and worshiping and seeking God with all your heart, the devil don't stand any kind of a chance of destroying you. No chance. The devil knows better than to have a head-on collision with a Holy Ghost-filled child of God. Woo! Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I said the devil knows better than to have a head-on warfare with a Holy Ghost-filled, blood-bought, blood-covered, faith-filled child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it's all this propaganda. It's all this propaganda. You see, the Soviet Union knows better than to have a confrontation directly with America. So it happens indirectly through Vietnam and through Nicaragua and through Cuba. He comes around about ways through the world, through the flesh, from within, and tries to cause an insurrection in your spirit. He knows he has to weaken you. He has to make you begin to doubt. He has to make you miss that prayer meeting. He has to make you miss that day of fasting. He has to make you sit back on a pew when the church is shouting the victory from the front to the back. And if he can get you doing that, then he'll meet you head on. He'll meet you head on after he has weakened you. But I'm going to tell you, this business of shouting is nothing more than a physical reaction to what's happening in the spiritual world. A few months ago, I went through a tremendous warfare in my spirit. I could feel good all day, but as soon as it come time for church, I get to feeling so weak I couldn't hardly stand up. I let that go on for a while. I guess it was kind of like Paul, you know, when this woman was screaming after her, men of the Most High God, and she was demon-possessed, and she was falling everywhere. The Bible said Paul let that go on for days. But when he got tired enough of it, the Bible said he became so vexed in his spirit that he finally just got sick and tired of the devil. And he turned around and rebuked that devil out of her, and he came out. You know, sometimes we just got to get sick and tired of some things that keep following us around. The Holy Ghost, when it works in a place, causes people, it woos them into worship, and that's spiritual warfare. When people are wooed into prayer, that's spiritual warfare, and the devil can't stand against us. There are so many things for us that the devil cannot stop of praying and fasting and worshiping church. Let me tell each individual, I'm going to walk back the ways, let me say this. Let me tell each of you, you as a person, I don't care if this whole church is just trying to knock these walls out. You as an individual cannot afford to sit back and drop out of the war. You cannot afford to become a deserter. You cannot afford to become a casual soldier. Because the enemy is just waiting for someone to sit back and to relax their guard and to fall asleep spiritually so he can attack your soul. Don't ever look at somebody shouting and say, oh, that's nice for them. I just get my blessings watching them shout. You need that spiritual confrontation for yourself. Nobody can fight your warfare for you. You must endure hardness as a good soldier. Not as a good army, but an individual, a good soldier. It's important that you remember that. The enemy is out to destroy your soul. But through the Holy Ghost, we are fighting a good warfare and we shall win. If God be for us, who can be against us? I tell you what our God can do. He can say, let there be light. And there was light. Our God can speak the worlds into existence and make them hang on nothing. Our God can breathe the breath of life into a hunk of dust. And that dust can become a living, breathing human being. Our God can cause a 90-year-old Sarah to give birth to a baby. Our God can cause a great man like Pharaoh and a great nation like Egypt to let 2 million slaves walk out in one night. My God can roll back the Red Sea and make between 2 and 3 million people walk through a Red Sea on dry ground. Our God can make water come from a rock in a desert. Our God can make the sun stand still so we can war a good warfare. Our God can help a little boy like David kill a giant like Goliath. My God can make lions shut their mouth when they're hungry and where they can't eat the prophet Daniel. My God can let 3 Hebrew boys go into a fire furnace and come out without the smell of smoke on them. My God can raise Lazarus after he's been in his grave 4 days and stinking already. My God can open blinded eyes and let the deaf ears be unstopped. He can make the dumb talk and the lame to walk. My God, he can make Peter walk on water. My God can calm a stormy sea by saying, peace be still. My God can take a life that's broken by sin, that's destroyed by the devil, and make him a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the mighty God that we serve. My God can take Satan, and like lightning, he can cast him out. My God can take millions of dead people who have been in their grave for centuries, and with one blow of a trumpet sound, he can bring them up out of the ground and take them to an eternity with him forever. We're serving a God that's for us. We're serving a God that's for us. Let's praise him. Let's all stand and praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, let me tell you something. My philosophy about dealing with the devil is don't deal.
My philosophy about handling the devils don't handle. My philosophy about trying to cast the devil out is lift Jesus up. Ha ha. Ha ha. I tell you what kind of effect that lifting Jesus up has on the devil. When God's people begin to lift Jesus up, the devil has got to go. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, we automatically gain power over the devil. When we praise Him, we don't have to go around rebuking the devil. When we praise Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost overwhelms Satan and he has to go. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Brother Shirley, you talked about a 26-year-old boy that had a stroke. When I was 26 years old, we just finished our second building program when I was 26 years old. And after the end of that, I was in such a physical and emotional wreck, and I was so strained because back then we didn't have a lot of help. Didn't have a lot of people in the church that were trained people. That was 10 years ago. And after that was all over, I had a collapse. I don't know if it was a stroke or what it was, but my entire left side began to curl up and twist and disfigure. And I laid in the bed and I could not help myself. My foot twisted up. My wife would pull my leg out and try her best to pull it out. And when she would finally, with all of her strength, couldn't quite get it straight and let it go, it would spring right back into a twisted up configuration again. And finally I said, call some preachers. And while she was calling them, I was praying. And when she got back, I said, get me out of this bed. I just let me get my good arm around you and let me hop around on my one good foot a little bit. Let me tell you something. It wasn't the hopping around that was getting any job done, but there was a physical reaction to a spiritual warfare. And when I began to hop around that room, I want you to know, after hours of a stroke condition, God healed my arm. It straightened out. My foot straightened out. God healed me instantly, and I've never had another problem again. Woo! This is a spiritual warfare, and we are on the winning side. Hallelujah. And there's somebody sitting back here or standing back here that the devil's really been fighting you mighty hard. Maybe there's somebody here that don't even have the Holy Ghost. And maybe you're really hungry for it tonight. But anyway, the devil's been fighting you. I want you to know something. If you'll come out of that pew here in just a minute, and if you begin to praise God with all of your heart, you're going to war a good warfare. And the devil's going to have to let you be. He's going to have to leave you alone. If you're sick in your body, you begin to praise and magnify God. And I believe the healing virtue of the Holy Ghost is here to heal you tonight.